It's very nice to be with you. I consider it a privilege. And we're talking about Scripture memory. Now, the thing about Scripture memory that I want to do with you tonight is to help break you out of the box that you're in. Which, how many, first off, have made it a non-negotiable to memorize Scripture for the rest of your life? That's what I figured. Not every hand's gone up. How many of you are memorizing Scripture because it's required for the course? Okay, we got some honest people. Got 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. You're doing it because it's required for the course. When the course is over, or when there's a break 3 or 4 weeks, what happens to your review? There is none. Right? Am I right? Yeah. It's hard enough for us that have made it a non-negotiable to stay with it. Those of you that you're doing it just for the course, you say, whoo, no review, those verses, I don't have to do it. Now, why learn these Bible verses anyway? You're not in Sunday school. Why do it? Have you asked yourself that question? What does God say about memorizing His Word? Can you name me a Bible verse that says, thou shalt memorize My Word? Yes.
Not exactly that, but in essence, the one that says, be prepared to give a defense for the hope that you have in me, or something like that. Something to that effect.
Okay. 2 Peter 3:15. Okay. Be ready always to give an answer to every man and ask you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Is that the one you're thinking of? Okay, that's not a specific answer to my question. Does God say in His Word, memorize my book? Yes.
Joshua 1:8.
Come on.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you be prosperous and successful. Wait, no, I'm skipping a part. The end, so you be prosperous and successful. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Okay, Joshua 1:8 is one reason, is one area. How about Psalm 119:9-11? Somebody know that? What? You're gonna have to talk way up.
I don't know. That's, I'm just throwing in. Thy word I hide in my heart, but I might not sin against it.
That's correct. The question in Psalm 119:9. 119:9 asks the question, how can a young man keep his way clean? Now, is that a fair question? Huh? How can a young man, young woman, keep her way clean? Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hello? All right, how about Proverbs 7, 1, 2, and 3? Anybody know that one? My son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with you. Obey my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers. Write them upon the table of your heart. What do you think? Am I doing pretty good at defending that God Himself wants us to hide His Word in our heart? How else does the Holy Spirit have a library with which to delve into when you're talking with a friend or a relative about him or about issues of life? What? How's the Holy Spirit going to minister through you to another person? Because it's the Word of God which lasts and does the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and exposes the intentions of a person's heart. Is that right? Not your ideas. Not your misconceptions. It's His Word. So you and I, as His personal ambassadors, He's equipping us. And you have exposed yourself and allowed yourself to get involved with an equipped disciple class that is encouraging you and giving you ideas, motivation to hide His Word in your heart. So I'm encouraging you now, take advantage of it. Ephesians 5:15 through 17. Listen to these three verses. Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who know not the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time because of the issues of today's life. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know the will of the Lord is. Now, what does that do for you? For me, that helps clarify vision and focus and why am I doing what I'm doing. Does it for you? Go like this. I like that. Does it for you? Yes. See, God's words gives us the reason why and then helps to motivate us to do it. You agree? Yes. So, how many now are willing to make Scripture memory make Scripture memory a non-negotiable? Any of you? Have I convinced any of you? Have I convinced anybody? Okay, I got a hand over here. Do I hear two? I got one, two. I got three over here. I got four. I got five. Okay, good. All right, that's good. Now, the question is, you got to have a way to make it work. It isn't just doing rote memory and that's it. So here's what I want to train you to do or teach you to do. When you come into the class, the first 5, 10, 15 minutes when you get together, what do you do around the table? Review your verses. Now, I bet that most of you will say this. Okay, what's the assurance of salvation? Or, what is John 5:24? You'll ask a verse or you'll ask a title. Is that right? Is that right? Okay, here's what I want to have you break out of that box. I will say to you, what's your first name?
Kevin.
Kevin, how do you know you're going to heaven when you die?
John 16:24 from the SID. He breaks the name of the sin and he has eternal life. He's not coming to judgment, but passes out of death into life.
Anybody want to challenge that? Yes, John 5:24. John 5:24. See, I ask him a real life question. How do you know? And that's a fair question to ask a believer or a non-believer sitting on the bus with an individual. I used to do it all the time going back and forth to Dallas. Hi, my name's Dick Wakeman. We'd chat for a little bit. And the second night I'd get on and see him. Hey, hi, John. We talk. I say, John, how do you know when you die? You take that last breath. How do you know if you're going to heaven or hell? Ooh, don't know. Wonder about that myself. Can I share an interesting verse from the Bible on that? Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear it. I have yet to have anybody tell me no. Okay, what's your first name?
Jenny.
Jenny, is it possible to have victory over sin? Over temptation, excuse me. Is it possible to have victory over temptation?
Absolutely.
How do you know?
1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation is seized you except what is coming to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under.
Wow, yeah. See, you're thinking of Scripture that answers question. You're talking with an individual that is really going through trouble, hard time. Doesn't have the money, lost the job, got to go to the doctor. I've got all kinds of problems, okay? And they're a weak Christian, and they're struggling. So you say to them, how do you know, what's your first name?
Sally,
how do you know that when you pray that your prayer actually gets out of the room?
When you ask, until now, you've not asked for anything in my name, ask me to receive, and your joy will be complete.
Yeah, would you agree with that? Yes. Yeah. See, your questions will come to you in situations. And your mind should begin to read your database to see what's there. If you've got it recorded there, memorized, then the Holy Spirit can... There's my answer, my son, my daughter. Does that make sense? Do you like that? I have a plan. This little packet has three pockets. This one is my new verse this week. Behind it is where the verse stays in there for 7 weeks. That verse next week comes out and stays in here, and I review it every day for 7 weeks. At the end of 7 weeks, it comes out and it goes in my box. I have a box. It's like a cigar box where all my old verses are. I also take out 10 verses, and they go on this side, which is back review. So I'm always taking the old ones and reviewing them, refreshing them. You with me? Then they come back out, and some more old ones go back. If you don't have a system, it will fall. This is scripture memory for busy people. This is how it works. But you got to have a plan. So if you don't have a cigar box, go to a cigar store. And literally, boy, they throw these things away. They throw these things. They're wood boxes, hand-carved, little brass hinges and clasps on them. Beautiful boxes. They tear the covers off. I went in and said, hey, I got me and some other people. We're memorizing Bible verses, and they're on little cards like this. So can I check some of your boxes and see which one they fit in? He said, sure. And I looked over here, and he had 6 boxes he's ready to throw away. Some of them didn't have covers on. The point I'm making is go to a cigar store. There's 20 of them in Dallas. And see if you can get a cigar box for your verses. So don't, 10 weeks down the road, don't just throw these in a drawer. What are you going to do with these verses? You're going to lose them. You need to have a system. And that's the tail end of the system. All right. And all I'm trying to show you is that when you review your verses, there's more than just doing a rote.
What's the assurance of salvation, 1 John 5, 11-12?
Why not ask somebody a real-life question which will trigger the mind to, yo, yeah. Because when you get tomorrow on the bus or at work with somebody, Sarah may say, oh, I just wish that there was a way that I knew that when I pray for my aunt, that God heard me. Oh. You say, Sarah, can I share with you a verse out of the Bible that I've memorized? I don't have a Bible here, but can I share it with you?
Sure, go ahead.
Before now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So then you can go wherever you want to with that conversation. You see what I'm saying?
She's not going to say, oh, you have anything on assurance or provision?
She's not going to do that. But she'll give you a real life situation, and you can. So if you begin to challenge each other when you're reviewing your verses, to do it that way instead of just, all right, it's just a way of getting out of the box, thinking in real life. All right? Questions? Comments? Don't cut me down, folks. Come on. Yes, Jared?
You put the 10 old ones back in. How long do they, I've got 2 questions. How long do those stay in? And then maybe teach us how you actually memorize the verse. Did it just say it's 56 days in a row to get it in that long-term memory?
It's one every day for 7 weeks. That's 49 days. If you do that, you'll over-memorize it, and it'll be logged on your database, and it's always there.
When you get the old 10?
When you get your old 10, and you need to do it. Okay. When you get up to 2,000... Well, when you get up to 2,000 verses, you've got to have a new plan. Good review and bad review. Because some of them, you're going to lose them. Right. Some verses you use every day with believers or non-believers. They're always coming up. But other verses, why did I review? Why did I learn that one? You know, it has really no relevance. And so it becomes stagnant because you have no place in which to log that little puppy in your own database of experience. Does that make sense? So you're always pruning. I don't want this. And so you put it over. I've got a little section which is verses that I've verse cards that I no longer have. I'm not interested in reviewing them, learning them. Now, Jared says it's in there for 10 days. How often? Depends on if you only have learned 100 verses. Guess what? That'll get rotated in a couple times of the year. They'll stay the same 10.
But you get it in 10 days?
No, I keep mine in a week. Yeah, I keep them in a week. Now, some of you have got real sharp minds. You got to understand who you're talking to here. I failed 4th grade, failed 6th grade, passed 7th on condition, and almost flunked 8. I have ADD, and I have dyslexia. So I'm even lucky to be here and speak my own name, to give you my own name. Let me do a little something for you here. I got married last Friday. My gal was right by my side. Our friends were all gone. We were alone, side by side. We were happily wed when she got ready for bed then. Her teeth and her hair she placed in her chair, side by side. One glass eye so tiny, a hearing aid so small. Then she reached down and took off a leg and placed it on the chair by the wall. I stood there brokenhearted, for my girl had mostly departed. I slept in the chair, there's more of her there, side by side. You got to know who you're connected to. All right, any other questions?
Okay, will you go over again just how your pack is? Like, you have one verse, one new verse that you review.
This pack is designed with three pockets. The clear one on the front, don't have to open it up. It's right here. That's the verse that I'm working on. It stays in there all week. All week. Then come, you got to have a start and you got to have an ending. So on Friday night, not Saturday and Sunday, Friday night, this puppy comes off and goes in my next pack, which is going to be in there for the 7 weeks. So I review it every day for 7 weeks. Worked up every day for 7 weeks. And a new one goes in the front pack. And then I also take these 10 out, put them in my box, take 10 old ones out, and put them in here. And now my pack is ready. When I get up Monday morning, my pack is already ready to go. I don't work on them Saturday and Sunday. But Monday...
20 verses there.
Yeah.
10 new, 10 old.
There's seven old.
Oh, seven.
Yeah, they're in there for 7 weeks. Yeah.
But the 10 new... Are there 7 weeks too?
No, they the 10 new stay in there for a week. Every week I take out a new 10. Every week I take out a new 10 of back review. Yes. Yeah. Now, some people memorize 3 a week, and so that's a little bit more. Okay, any other questions? Any other helps that I can do with? Who is really struggling and just having a real hard time? You'd like to do it, but you got a problem, you can't have them solve it. Nobody.
I get more confused with the numbers.
Yeah.
Like, I get the words and the ideas and everything, but, like, the numbers that we're learning right now, there's a 15, 7, and 5, 17, and we just did, like, those numbers are starting to get really...
Do you have dyslexia?
No.
Okay.
But there's just getting to be, for me, the 9 that we have is a lot. You know?
Okay, who's got an answer to her problem? Did you understand her problem? You got the same problem. All right, who's got an answer?
The wheel illustration. That's what helps me to visually picture these memory verses for EB2 where they appear on the wheel illustration. Do y'all have a copy of that? So 2 Corinthians 5:17, I know it's right in the middle of Christ the center. John 15:7, I know is on the prayer spoke. And I can picture that in my mind. And that helps me keep the reference a little more clearly in my head, just based on picturing that illustration. So maybe if you're a visual learner, maybe that's one technique.
Yeah, I am.
In your book, there are 6 principles of successful scripture memory listed. In fact, you've got to take an exam sometime before the end of this course and write those all out. One of them, number 3, is write the verse out. Now, that is helpful for me, to write it out. And then, here is the big key that most of you probably are missing. Scripture memory, as with what Ryan said, Scripture memory goes from being rote words to application to the heart when you meditate on it. When you take that verse and pray it back to the Father, you're taking it apart and you're praying it to the Father. This is an exercise in you getting your relationship with your Father more intimate. You're allowing Him to have more lordship in that heart and in that life and in that mind and that concept of yours. Are you with me on that? You meditate on His Word. So it's all this week, your new verse. What's your new verse this week that you just finished? I'm sorry?
John 5:17.
John 15:17. What is it? John 15:7. So this week you pray that to the Father and you exalt Him and think through on it and talk to Him about that verse and the truth of what He's saying here. Father, this is for me. I'm your kid. Don't just let it be a verse, it's on paper. Take what He is saying there, that truth, and make it your own. When you take and meditate on His Word, it becomes yours. That's where your life begins to change. That's where that's when your paradigm begins to shift. And you begin to look at things as God does. Only if you meditate on His Word. Does that make sense? Are you with me? If you just memorize it, get out of the joking class. You're wasting your time. Go read a comic book someplace or watch a TV program. But if you're serious about being a man or a woman of God, and you're serious about Him using you in His kingdom to glorify Himself, then you've got to have your mind and your heart transformed. That's only going to be done through His Word. And hiding it in your heart is what's going to do it. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder to the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Isn't that encouraging? Yes! Back?
What you just said there just meant more to me than saying Daniel 4:12 and then using that scripture. I knew you were using scripture just by the way you said it. Does that make sense? You didn't give us a scripture reference before you quoted that.
Oh, I see. Oh, Hebrews 4:12. I just shared the word instead of giving a reference.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
But I think sometimes when you're witnessing and you came out and say, well, in John 15:6 it says, whereas if you just said what the scripture says,
yes, that's
sometimes you lose them. Sometimes I don't want to hear that.
That's correct. You're absolutely correct.
I understand what you're getting to us for. We need to know what the actual is. But I think sometimes when you're witnessing something, you don't have to spit that.
Yes.
That verse out.
Okay, can I help in any... Have I confused you or helped you? Has this been good?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.